everybody, in this episode of the Timeless After Show, we're breaking down Season 2, Episode 5, The Kennedy Curse. We choose to go to 2018. We choose to go to Palo Alto in the future. We choose to do these things not because they're easy, but because they are hard. We're going to break down all this and talk to two of the stars of the episode next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes. There you go.
So wow.
That's right. Kicking in for another episode of the Timeless After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV, breaking down every episode of the second season of Timeless, airing Sunday nights at NBC. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran.
And I'm Carrie Lane.
Hey, guys. It's Virginia Reina Dunn.
And look at this. Now, it's not just the three of us. Usually, it's just us talking down the episode, breaking everything down. But you know what? We're joined by two incredible guests this evening. Yes. Not only are they fantastic actors, they're actually in this episode. We have Renee Hardesty from Greenhouse Academy, as well as Startup. She plays Kayla, a woman who's infatuated by the young JFK. And then, playing none other than the young president himself, Grant Gordon, who's been in Modern Family, and his new series, Home, comes out later this year. Welcome, everybody. Grant and Raina.
Hey!
Yes.
Hey, guys!
Look at this!
Oh, I like that.
Nice little touch.
That was such a nice intro.
Oh, wow. A huge, large studio audience here gathered.
Yeah. Well, online, we already have the chat going, so if you are watching this live, feel free to join us in the chat. If you have any questions for our special guests, if you're watching it later, just leave comments down below.
So, of course, we're going to be talking about the episode, breaking things down, but first off, let's just start, I'll just jump in with the two of you. Were you fans of Timeless at all, or is this just something that kind of this is a role in our audition that just kind of came by? Your agent said you should go for this.
You want me to go?
I don't want to just.
I am a fan of sci-fi, so this is right up my alley. That being said, I hadn't seen an episode of Timeless before I auditioned, but now I am a fan.
Nice. Raina?
Same.
Yeah. Very nice. All right. Yeah.
I mean, it's great. I need to binge all of it. I watched a couple episodes during the auditioning process, you know, to get familiar with it, and then I'm like, oh, this is pretty
good.
Cool.
Yep.
So.
Well, I mean, of course, Raina, you're playing somebody that's from 2018, hanging out in Palo Alto, so kind of easy to dial into.
Mm-hmm.
Grant,
yes.
You're playing not just JFK, but a young version of JFK, pre-presidential aspirations.
Right.
So, are you any kind of Kennedy junkie at all, or was that something also you got a chance to dive into for this role as well?
Definitely not a junkie. However, I had done research on JFK as a president. Now, it's totally different to think about JFK at Choate and when he was, you know, in his teens, because he was still dealing with so much illness, and I had to figure out, like, what is his accent really? And I found out that, like, his dad made them sit down for hours on end listening to Winston Churchill speeches. So that had a big influence on his specific accent. It's not just Boston accent, you know?
So. It's a little bit of English is in there as well?
Yeah, from the speeches that they listened to. And they lived in England for a little bit.
Oh man!
Wow.
So
I did not know that.
How did you work on the accent as your prep, or was there a dialect coach part of the show?
There was. There was a dialect coach, Jessica Drake, and she was amazing. She's worked with everyone, and we worked every day for like 4 hours up until we started shooting, and then she was there on set with me most of the days.
Was there something very specific that was difficult for you?
Oh, like, that's a good question. That's a good question. You know, I can't think about it right now, but there were, with accents, it's all about figuring out, like, what are the certain words that sound different than how I pronounce them?
Right.
And when we identified some of them, I was like, oh, that sounds so weird to me. There were just specific words that would be weird.
Right. Because you were, like, spot on with that accent.
Thank
I heard it, and I was like, wow, he is good.
Like,
and I am a bit of a Kennedy fanatic, so I've watched, like, everything that they have with him. So I was like, wow, very impressive.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What I do like about this series is that when they do kind of meet historical figures, more often than not, they kind of dive into a lesser-told aspect of their history.
Right.
So this scene, a young version of JFK, we all think like, oh, got to go back to, you know, 1963, maybe try to save the president. But this, seeing him back in 1937 at the beginning, is a really cool turn on the character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So for you, I mean, because if you think like you're watching all those Kennedy speeches, and if you're playing the president, it's easy to kind of pick up those mannerisms or tics.
Absolutely.
But as, you know, 1937 Kennedy, where he doesn't really have maybe any of those really developed yet. Mm-hmm. What do you kind of start dialing into and making decisions on how you want to play him?
Yeah. His accent, I don't think, would translate well to today's television, right? It might come off a little bit funny if you went all the way with it. So basically, I think we kind of learned it and then dialed it back just a little bit. And then when I got on set, they were like, we love it, we love it. Dial it back even a little bit more. Mm. So it was just kind of toning it down, making it sound a little bit more natural so that viewers aren't like, whoa, that's a little bit much, and it's starting to feel funny, you know?
And is that you working hand in hand with a dialect coach saying, maybe just...
Dialect coach, the director, the producers on set, everybody.
I have a weird question. Yeah. So as the actor, I was watching, I'm like, so wait, do we think Kennedy's... ideologies were affected by being in the present and seeing all the people together, like in the moment in the car where he's like, you all go to the same school together. And I mean, he already seemed like a more open-minded individual anyways. Right. But then I was like, I wonder if that like semi-affected his thought process later. So as an actor, did that come up for you?
It did. And I'm an optimist, so I felt the same way. I was like, oh, this is what plants that in his mind, and that's why he was so forward-thinking as a president. I'm hopeful that way, so I think so. Yeah.
So we're going to dive into the episode in just a minute, but before we do that, you know, if you want to have fun, learn, and grow in all aspects of your life, for those who do, we've got a podcast just for you. That's Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition, created by our AfterBuzz TV founder, and it drops every Friday in iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life. From health and wellness, career and relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sister you never had. So just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. And listen to this jamming music while you do so. And when you do, let her know it's the ABTV Timeless crew that got you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. Check it out. Woo! All right. So this episode, as I was telling Virginia a little bit before we started, was a great twist on the usual kind of beats of the series, where instead of being in the past the whole time, we take somebody from the past and bring them into the future. Mm. And not somebody that just wants to stay easily contained. That's too easy. They just do what they're told. We get a young JFK who's like, nope, I got to get out of here. What's happening?
Even the cell phone joke was great. She's like, yeah, just call me. We have cell phones. I can use cell phones.
So we get Flynn trapped back in there as they're trying to save young JFK from getting assassinated. Poor guy goes to talk to his English professor and finds out he almost gets killed by him. Yeah, not a fun way to...
What's that about?
But I do see we see little early teases of JFK's, like, you know, just kind of a rowdy lifestyle. As he's talking to one of his college friends there. It's like, JFK's, you know...
I love that intro, too. Yeah. I love I think it. The little charm you have. It's like... That's JFK.
The fans enjoyed that part. I think they wanted more of it. We kept seeing tweets about more of that JFK when he's like messing around with people.
It is interesting.
I was going to say, even the part when you meet Caleb, the character, for the first time, even though he's totally kind of discombobulated, he's still like, hi.
How's it going?
Oh, yeah. I need assistance. Could you help me?
Yeah, so how'd you work on that?
I like to think that I'm pretty charming myself.
No work required.
So I didn't know if that was cocky to say, but I just went ahead and said, yes.
Well, Raina, is it true? You can let us know, Raina.
Oh, we had instant, like...
Connection,
totally. Yeah. Even at the table read, I remember with the way we were seated, we were actually on the same side of the table, but we're at opposite ends, and we were looking at each other while we were in the lines, and even... seven people in between us, I was like, there was a connection. Yeah, I was super excited.
Well, I feel like there's two interesting things about each of your performances. For one, Grant, you're playing somebody that's coming from 1937 to 2018. Mm-hmm. And as you escape the bunker and you're finding yourself in the gas station convenience store and you're seeing all modern technology, for you, how do you play somebody that's like, oh, I'm back from 1937, but I'm supposed to be kind of overwhelmed by technology I'm completely used to this time of day?
Well, the interesting thing is that that's not the only thing that's going on for him, you know? He's still at all times thinking about, how do I get back? So I think if everything was okay, and I think Back to the Future is a good example, because he knew where he was going. So, like, seeing all the stuff, he's allowed to be shocked by it because he's more in the moment. JFK is constantly in this episode thinking about how do I get back home? Where's my dad? What is going on here? So the overwhelming bits had to be a little bit more understated because that's not the only thing that was happening. You know, it was crazy to see, like, oh my gosh, there's video footage of me at the front of this weird building, right? But that's not the only thing that's going on. So he quickly is like, okay, I need help, right? Mm-hmm. So.
And for you, Raina, you're playing somebody in 2018 who meets somebody who says they have traveled through time, mm-hmm. Back from 1937 to present day. Something that I always wonder, like, somebody that is willing to take that leap of faith. For you, is that something that was like, all right, I got to try to rationalize why somebody would be so easily willing to take that leap and believe what this man's telling her?
Well, the thing about Kayla, she says later on in the episode, my mom's a shrink, helps trouble kids like him all the time. So I think that I take after, I as in Kayla, Kayla takes after her mother in that way, that she just wants to help people. Obviously, we had that little bit of a connection in the beginning, and I feel like, you know, typically people have a good radar, like, does this person have bad intentions, mm-hmm. or is this person good? And, like, I could just tell he's a good person, he's just lost, and I want to help him. Plus, he's kind of cute. You know? So, I feel like that's what brought me back, you know? And I really just wanted to take him under my wing because, yeah, I feel like the way that Kayla was raised is to help others. That's how I rationalize it.
So do you think at the end she believed him and, you know, like she really was like, okay, maybe I'm going to have an impact on this guy that's like one of the most well-known presidents or most popular presidents?
Yeah, at the very end, for sure. I think, you know, towards the beginning, like when we're in the hospital, I'm kind of like, okay, like this guy's kind of crazy. But, and then when we're in the bedroom, when I'm showing him my iPad, there's still that like, okay, is this real? It'd be so cool if this was real, but probably not. This guy's probably just really sick. But also, I don't know. This is really intriguing and convincing. And I think right when I really believed him was when the guns were going off and it's like, oh, what's happening? Oh, my God. You know? But I think part of it, the way I justified it is like, okay, I kind of want this to be true because this is cool. I mean, who wouldn't want to meet young JFK who traveled from the past? It's unfathomable, you know?
I would also say, who wouldn't want to kiss young JFK? Right. That moment in the end, someone else said in the chat, me too. I was like, oh, please. Oh,
yeah.
What?
No, I mean, we, yeah.
I don't even know.
Are we, like, allowed to talk?
It aired. Come on.
Yeah.
Spill.
Okay, well,
we may or may not have done a kissed.
Take. There was one. There was a take where we're like, okay, we're going to see if this works. The director, Holly Dale, she was awesome to work with. And Lana, they put, you know, as we were filming, before we did that scene, they changed it and they added this bit where they're like, let's do a take where there's a kiss and see if it fits. And we did try. But, and then, so like before it came out, we were like, are they going to put it in there? Yeah. And then they didn't. So we were like, aw.
They're saving it for the spinoff, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen that. A lot of people are asking for a spinoff. Yeah. Yeah. I did see the tweet.
Watching the episode now and seeing that scene, do you like the choice that they made?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it leaves you wanting more.
Exactly. Yeah.
It leaves you like, oh, like, what could have been? And like, why didn't he? And then it's like this. I think it's romantic. Mm-hmm. You know, this like, oh, what could have been, but it never could have been. Mm-hmm. You know? So I like their choice.
What do you think you would have wanted to tell him as Kayla about like his future? If you could tell him like one thing other than the whole assassination thing.
That's a good question.
I don't think I'd want to tell him any of that. Mm-hmm. I think
not the assassination. Right, other than that, like, you know, like, don't do anything with Marilyn Monroe or, you know, like anything like that. I'm on the gossipy side here.
You know, I never really thought of that as Kayla, but I don't think that Kayla would be the type of person that would want to even
mess it up
at all. Mm-hmm. Really, because she's smart.
Well, I did like at the end where she says, your secret is safe with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you imagine that, Kayla? Do you think that she keeps this to herself the rest of her life?
Or
she shares this, like, with grandkids?
Who's going to believe her?
Yeah, who would believe that?
Exactly. I feel like even if I, like, tried to tell my mom, she'd be like, oh, maybe I should, like, take you on as a patient, you know? So, it's something I'm sure I wrote in my diary about it all day. You
right.
Know? I keep saying Kayla.
Yeah. Short story. Well, maybe she wrote a poem or a short story about it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Fiction. and started it out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We had someone, Emily in the chat, ask, what was it like to work with the cast of Timeless? Because all together you have this scene at the end at the party, right? Mm-hmm. Like, where you're all together? Because did you have any other scenes with them? I know, Grant, you did. There's the other bits.
But... I didn't work with them as much, so...
They can jam it too. Yeah, absolutely.
They were wonderful to be around.
Well, we had that awesome chat with Matt in the camper. He is such a sweet sweetest guy.
Yeah, he told me all about Manuka Honey.
Yeah.
And how I should incorporate it.
And it was on your Instagram the other day.
Yes.
What are the virtues of that honey?
It supposedly has a lot of antioxidants. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. I remember he told me the jar he had was like $70, and I was like, Anyways.
They're awesome. They're all really, really cool, and they're like a tight-knit group. They have a lot of fun on set, but they're also very, very professional. They were welcoming. It's a pretty hard set to come onto because it goes really fast. They're filming a lot in a very short amount of time, and they were really, really welcoming, even at the table read.
Very.
Yeah, and great, great people to be in front of the camera with, generous actors.
Where did you shoot in town?
We shot at Paramount, mostly. We also shot across the street at Radford. Right? That's the name of...
I said Relay, but that's not...
there's another one.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We shot the car scene. Raleigh. That's it. Yeah. Across the street. And then in Acton, California, was the gas station.
And then Altadena was the house party.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh. How many days... You said it was pretty quick, Grant. How many days were you on set? Because your character's in it quite a bit.
I think it was every day of the... So 11?
Okay.
Yeah. Or no, less than that. Almost 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man. Now, we also have, of course, we're talking about our main core cast of characters. We have some stuff going on with them. They're not only trying to get back JFK and put him back in his original place, safe and sound in 1937, but they're also dealing with the fact that Wyatt's wife, Jessica, is now alive. Mm-hmm. And how do you deal with that? And we see that Lucy says, you know what, you should give Wyatt another chance.
She is just the best. I mean, I don't know if I would be able to do that, like sit and watch them. It's so hard because like you get romantically involved and like we've all been wanting them to be together for so long. But then it is his wife. So, you know, she takes the high road, which is why we love her.
She's just so awkward about it, though, that I almost felt she was kind of poking the bear like, yeah, why don't I do this too? I'm like, you could have just sat back and been like, all right, you guys go. I know you guys are newer to the show, but in watching this and the fans, they have been rooting for Lucy and Wyatt for so long.
Yep. The Lyatt fan page.
Yeah.
They liked all, my pictures. Yeah. Very sweet.
Would either of you be as altruistic as Lucy is in this scenario where you've gone traveling through time and the person that you've kind of fallen in love with, their wife who's dead, has now come back to life? Would you be able to just step aside and let her be with him? It's such a scenario we all face almost every day. Yeah.
So relatable. Right. It's just happening.
Rain, how'd you handle it?
You know, I mean, I can't even like begin to put myself in that position.
I know,
but,
right?
You know, I always believe that what's meant to be is meant to be. And maybe it's temporary that she's back. I mean, who knows? Something might change again. But I really love the way that they wrote it, how maturely she's handling it and how she's not just like super catty. And like, there's the funny, awkward moments. But like, I love that she's not just, you know.
Well, and she's supportive, and I think part of it is because, like, she really wants her sister back, you know? Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's, like, putting herself in that shoes of, like, if I could have my sister back, he was feeling the same thing with his wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I do like that they're kind of writing it somewhat realistic, where it's not necessarily the one is, like, such a terrible person. You're like, why would she never be with Jessica? She's so terrible, so awful.
Oh, when she has the tea, I'm like, wow, they're actually kind of similar, and, you know, like, they're getting along all well.
Yeah, I mean,
I want to know how he feels.
Oh, he must feel super.
Because you're
awkward.
Having the two ladies that you've been intimate with in the same space be like, so
okay, hey, girls. This is going well.
Yeah.
Anyways,
it's like your wife becoming best friends with like an ex or something like that. Be like, okay,
does
but the wife
really
doesn't
work,
know
though?
It's an ex though either.
Yeah, I don't know. It would seem so weird if somebody you're involved with is also really great friends with the ex.
They did a movie
of yours,
on that where it was like the. there was a comedy. It was like the three women the guy had been with, and they bonded together because he was cheating Matt on all them.
The actor?
But it was a silly movie, but the women bonded because the guy was a jerk. But the situation, everybody's good, so it's hard to hate on anyone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We see JFK ends up in present day 2018 and goes to the party that Kayla's hosting and shows her basically what Kennedy's life and what happens to the Kennedy family during the course of their history. Mm-hmm. And we see what I thought was really interesting is that for Jack Kennedy, he at least it seems up where he is currently from 1937. Mm-hmm. Feels like he really doesn't have many aspirations. He's willing to kind of, you know, just relax because he's figuring that his older brother is going
to... He's the one that's set up to be the next president. So, and he wasn't even making good grades in school. So he was not planning on being president at that time at all. It's shocking to him.
What, I have to admit, because I don't know much about the young JFK. Mm-hmm. In the course of this, as you're kind of researching and learning more about it, mm-hmm. what was Kennedy's mindset back then? What was his... If he wasn't aspiring to be president,
he was a jokester. He was constantly a part. He was in the Muckers Club, and they were constantly just playing pranks on people, and pranks were getting played on him. And he was, goofing off in class and making bad grades. And he was sick. You know, he was really, really sick. She said, I'm sorry, what's your name?
Virginia.
Virginia, thank you. I'm sorry. Yeah. Virginia did some research on this as well, that JFK had to be carried around at times because he was so sick. So I don't think this was on his mind at all. So it was and that, by the way, I'm glad we brought this up because that was another reason why in the beginning everything can't be holy shit. Because then I'm going holy shit throughout the entire episode. You know, we had to save the holy shit for the end.
Yeah. I love that part with the phone, though. You were like, "What is this?"
Yeah, yep, that's fun.
Where do I find a payphone in a museum? Yeah. Yeah.
Because as Jack learns all about his family's future, where this Kennedy curse happens, and so many of his siblings have died at such an early age, it's usually in these kind of situations where you see a historical figure finds out about their future. Invariably in these kind of science fiction shows, they get their memory erased so they can go back to their original time without any knowledge of their future existence. So then time kind of just plays out as we've always known it to be. But we see, in this series, that doesn't happen. There's no mind wiping or anything. Mm-hmm. So we see JFK getting all this information that Kayla's given him and now going back to 1937.
Right.
How do you play something like that where all of a sudden you're a JFK that now has this knowledge of where his family, family's future lies?
So, I'm sorry, what's the question?
How do you go, in those scenes where you're, how do you kind of wrap your head about, like, this is now a JFK that is going to be going back with future knowledge?
So the scenes that happen before he goes back to, I see what you're saying. There was only that one scene, really. I mean, first of all, he's like, well, shit, everything sucks, right? What's the point? Yeah. So I think that's where he's at when he's kind of drinking his sorrows away. And then when he talks to Lucy and she kind of gives him some hope, I think he's like, well, I can turn this around and I can use the information that I've got from this experience to maybe be a better person and maybe start making better grades in school.
Imagine how much that changes you. Just makes you grow in that instant.
I actually like the idea that maybe like this is what changed the course of his life.
I love that.
Well, also, if he tried to change anything through Gia's own experience and Rufus, it's going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
So maybe he did try to change one thing. But then it happened anyway, and then maybe he would have been like, no. I mean, we don't see that, obviously, but to think of that, of like, if he ever tried to change anything, he finds out it doesn't matter, so then he goes, fine, I'm not going to do anything about it.
Right, like, because they found out he died in Austin instead of Dallas. Like, maybe he avoided Dallas, but he still got, like, Final Destination style. Mm-hmm. He was still going to die.
Yeah, Final Destination style. I love that. Yeah. That's right.
Well, because even Gia and Rufus have this discussion this episode, too, about... is there a higher being?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily in a religious sense, higher power, but is there somebody that's kind of working, pulling the strings somewhat? Mm-hmm. And if you, certainly her having these visions, if you see an action, you going towards it or you trying everything to resist it can still be the thing that ends up making you get to that spot.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine if somebody for like JFK who finds about everything about his family and their future, even if he tries to steer away from it, those could be the things that end up leading to those things happening anyway.
Yeah.
It's very Macbethian.
It is.
It's like, just don't try, because that's going to make it happen.
Right.
It's poor Rufus.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I always feel like when he asks Lucy, like, am I a good president?
Right.
She says, oh, you're one of the greatest. Mm-hmm. I also feel like, do I want to know that? Because I feel like that's a cool moment, but would I want to know that? Because would that put so much pressure on myself? But I'd rather not know than just kind of grow into that.
I think he needed something. Mm-hmm. I think he was feeling really shitty at that point. I think he was thinking, what's the reason to go back? Why? You know? So that gave him a little hope.
Well, I do see with that moment where we think he's not going to make it back, and we see the half dollar turn into a Nixon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I love that.
Now we see you get some love from Emma, the character play. She gave you a shout out on Instagram.
Yeah.
There, singing your praises. Yeah. I mean, even though she's trying to kill you throughout the course of the
episode. but she, even though she plays a lot of characters like that, she is like the sweetest ever.
She's so kind.
Didn't
really interact with her much, but even just a couple minutes I saw her, I was like, she just radiates this beautiful energy. Mm-hmm. She's so nice.
Yep. We had like 2 seconds to talk on set. It was happening very fast, and the house was full of extras and crew the entire time. She showed up to do that, you know, the shootout, and we were, you know, we had like 2 seconds to talk, take that picture, and that was the only experience I had with her, you know. So to be honest, even leaving, I was like, she's probably like a badass in real life, but she's actually a sweetheart. Yeah, and she knows my friend Angel Murphy, who's also on Runaways, and Angel's got good taste in friends too. So,
oh, all right,
yeah, she's cool.
It was like 4 a.m. Everyone was running. That was crazy.
That was crazy. That was a fun night.
What is it fun to shoot a party scene?
Yeah, that was fun.
We had a lot of fun on set together for sure. You know, it's great because everyone was so positive. Mm-hmm. I mean.
We had to be. It was so cold outside, and we were doing these takes over and over and over again. And it was late.
And these extras were troopers. Some girls were wearing like shorts because they were, you know, in party clothes. Mm-hmm. And it's like 5 a.m. and freezing in Altadena. But everyone had a really good attitude, and that's what makes it fun.
Yeah,
you know,
it was fun.
Now, what's also fun is just giving us some great reviews on iTunes, folks. And you know what you can do? You can get in touch with us, and not just giving us great reviews, but also interacting with us. Carrie mentioned the chat there, of course. The chat is up and running, so if you have any questions, she's been asking a few already from people in the chat. But if you have any for Grant or Raina, now's the time to chime in. But you can also like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and give us a thumbs up while you're there. And Carrie, if they're watching this after we've streamed live, what can they do?
You can comment down below. Somebody brought up a point that the team, Miguel says when the team tries to save somebody, they still die. And I'm like, well, they saved the Salem ladies in the last episode.
Yes.
That's true.
And that changed history.
Ben Frank's mom.
Yeah. So not everybody has to. But I don't know. That's interesting how some of them, it does seem to work and some don't. I mean, it was more the last episode than this one. Because Rufus, I watched both of them today. So that's why I'm like, they're blending together. But yeah, it's interesting of how much they can change history or not.
Yep.
I was really surprised when Lucy was saying shoot Emma because she's the only pilot. I completely forgot about that, and it was like it almost clicked with her too.
Say it one more time.
Remember when Emma is holding Lucy hostage with the knife, she's like, just shoot her. Like, she's the only pilot. This will all be done with. And I was like, wow. Like, I completely didn't even think about that. And I almost feel like Emma didn't think about that either, because as soon as it happens, she's like, she drops her and runs.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think he still could have shot her.
Oh,
he's a good shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or what you do is, like, you shoot through them and hit the shoulder. Come on. We've seen it enough movies. It works.
Like, he's a SEAL, right? He should be able to do that. Or he's...
Or shoot in the
special
leg.
Forces,
you know?
Or something.
Special forces, yeah. Don't maybe have to do a kill shot, but something.
I should just take her out.
Yeah.
Especially, I always wonder, like, because there's a nice gap between, like, her head's here and his head's here.
Yeah.
It's like, that's plenty of room for somebody that's really well-trained with firearms. You could take that shot.
Yeah, I think he could.
I can't even
that far away.
Pretend to know anything about that.
You haven't been to the firing range?
I think, no. No. I have not.
Even just the thought of
scary.
That.
Scary.
Like,
yeah.
The other thing that we have that happened this episode, too, is we have the mother's doc. Agent Christopher's sort of the mother of the Timeless team. And then we actually have Lucy's real mom. Agent Christopher gets abducted by Lucy's mom, and they have a little heart-to-heart talk about Lucy's future and what they should do to try to keep Lucy alive going forward.
Mm. And with henchmen, we got fist to face too.
Fist to face. Lucy, you know, of course, is her own woman, but her mom wants her to stay out of danger because Rittenhouse wants to eliminate her easily.
Right.
And is leveraging Agent Christopher's family to say, all right, you keep my daughter safe or your family's not going to be safe.
Playing dirty.
Yeah. I felt like Agent Christopher handled this the best way that she could. What do you think?
I don't know if she could have done anything else in her position. And I think she said really good, like, cut to the bone comments. So it's like, she has to just sit back and wait now.
Yeah.
I feel it's up to Lucy's mom to actually make it's gonna all ride on her. She's gonna have to get to that. Someone's gonna push her to the breaking point where she's gonna have to make a choice between Rittenhouse or her daughter.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to figure out when that happens.
Juicy.
We haven't seen her dad in a while.
That is true.
No, we have not.
Like, what happened to him? Like, the grandfather came back. Like, where is he? I feel like he's up to no good somewhere.
We also want to give a shout out to our clock blockers. Takira usually takes care of the clock blocker shout out, but she's on assignment this week. So we're going to give a shout out here from Virtual Hugs from Alexandra in Hungary. She's thought the intro was hilarious. I would love to watch it live, but Sally, you don't have a time machine for me to live stream at 4 a.m. Come on, just get up. It's, you know, so you're a little sleepy at work. Why not? It's worth it to watch us and watch Grant and Raina live. Come on. So her thoughts about the season so far. I really don't trust Jessica. Rittenhouse got her back, so why should I?
Mm-hmm.
I was thrilled about Lucy and Wyatt in the last episode, and I'm sad that it was short-lived. But I don't know why, but since first season one, with Lucy's and Flynn's first face-to-face, she's kind of been shipping them.
Hmm.
Don't hate her. She loves TV psychos. And Nicholas definitely planning to have some babies with Emma. And I hope that in the end, Lucy's mom is going to help the team to win against Rittenhouse. And maybe Gia's visions help too. But maybe this is going to cost her a life or something.
Mm.
So look at that.
Yeah, I don't know if I was shipping the Flynn thing, but when they were together at the end, I'm like, I do and I don't like it.
Mm.
I don't like it.
Why
it's
not?
Like, because he's like a dad almost.
I don't trust him. Oh.
No,
that's fine.
Oh, no.
It's I'm more like, I just don't trust him. Yeah. I still don't trust him enough that I'm like, keeps things interesting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have a type.
Oh, all right.
He's the bad boy.
There you go. An older bad boy that travels through time, eliminating anybody that's getting in his way.
Right on the nail.
All right. Perfect. I got it. All right. Now, folks, of course, we're talking a little bit outside of school here, but Raina and Carrie shared an acting class together. I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the good old days of this acting class.
Yeah, that was funny. I mean, I'm so excited that you're going to be on the show, so that's why I was like, oh my gosh, Raina, you're going to be the show.
I'm so excited that you invited us to be here.
Like, cool.
It was super awesome, and yeah, I mean, I feel like it was such a long time ago when we were in class together. I'm like, I feel like... Did we even interact that much? Were we in the same class? Because there's several.
Because there was
classes.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I know I did one of them for a while, but I think you switched to a different day.
Yeah. So we kind of knew each other.
Yeah.
Not really.
We didn't have any scenes together. We thought that was kind of funny. We're like, no, we didn't.
But when
improvs,
you saw her.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I remember though, and actually, this kind of is factoring in a little more kind of serious question for you because when I knew you were going to be in the episode, I was curious what kind of role you would be because it's a time traveling show. And I remember in acting class, we had a thing when Aloha came out. Hello, that was the
Aloha.
Yep.
Yeah.
When that came out, we had discussion in class about race and casting and everything, and most of us in class, and then Raina included, was just like, it's incorrect casting when there are people like her that exist that, like, they should be getting that kind of casting.
I was pissed.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. I was like, well, rightfully so.
Yeah.
It's like, it was infuriating when that came out of, like, this is a joke. Because like, this character is half Asian. I think it's Chinese and white. And then it's, like, it's a completely white person playing it. And
I
then,
think
so,
she was supposed to be, like, a quarter...
Okay, it was like her grandma or something. Okay.
Hawaiian, I don't know. And they gave her a spray tan and tried to like... Ugh.
Yeah, there was a lot of drama surrounding that. I remember reading about it and I was like...
But then how did it feel to get on a show like this and then have a prominent character be someone who looks like you?
It felt really, really good, you know? Especially because the casting, at least, you know, the breakdown was like any ethnicity.
Mm.
That's what I love is that sometimes... you know, and especially because I'm half Japanese and half white, sometimes I go out for a role that's for an Asian American or for a Japanese woman. I'm like, I'm not Japanese enough for this. Mm-hmm. Or then a Caucasian person, and it's like, I'm not white enough for this. Or like everything in between. It's kind of hard not to be typecast or feel like not enough of something being of mixed race. But this one, it was completely like, had nothing to do with anything. And I think that that's so important to have more storytelling where it has nothing to do with where you're from. It's just right now and the story that you have to tell. I think it felt really, really good. And then I know Lana tweeted about that as well, how like, oh, in 2018 we had to have a diverse cast member, so Raina came in and I was like, yeah.
Oh, yay!
It felt really good, yeah. I love how there was no mention of me at all being Asian, too. That was great. It's like, it has nothing to do with any of this.
Yeah, it's kind of arbitrary, but the character's like a cool character. She's smart, she's nice, she's kind, and the guy likes her, too. So it's not just like... Yeah. She's a token character somewhere that, and like, that he doesn't care about.
That type of person can come from anywhere. Yeah. You know? So it felt really good to just come in and be Kayla, the cool girl, not Kayla the Asian. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. So, yeah, it was great. And, you know, I feel like it's moving in the right direction for sure.
It's kind of like Hamilton. Like, whoever can sing the role is going to be whatever president, you know, because they cast everybody for...
Yeah, I feel like theater is a lot more blind casting, for sure.
Well, timeless, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
They're trying to be historically accurate. But yeah, there are things where more avenues are happening. We had a horror movie news. We had an actor from Truth or Dare come on, and he's an Asian actor, Asian American actor, and his character was... It didn't matter that he was.
Yeah. So,
exactly. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
That's what feels really good. For sure. Sometimes I get something for like an Asian girl who's like really smart and kind of shy and well behaved, and I'm like,
okay,
because I'm not that at all. So,
well, tell me, would you be like Kayla in the situation where she does meet JFK at the convenience store? And would you be as open minded if you were in that same situation as Raina?
Oh, totally.
Really?
Well, okay. See,
I think she would too.
I can be a little. Yeah, I can be a little. What's the opposite of cautious?
Trusting?
Dangerous.
Trusting. Yeah, I could be a little too reckless, yes, because I just...
Yeah,
I think...
Good. Without abandon.
Yes. Because for me, what life is about is to feel as many things and experience as many things as possible. So I'm always like, yeah, let's go for it. So, and I feel like, you know, because he's... such a kind person, I feel like I have a good radar for that. I would have done it.
How can you turn down a guy in that suit he had too?
Yeah. I know, right?
I mean, if he was being weird and like, you know, like screaming to himself or something, it's like, don't look, like, you know, for sure. But I think I would have gone for it.
All right. Real quick, I know we're getting close to wrap up, but let's do some lightning fast predictions. And I know that, Grant and Raina, I'm sure you have lots of predictions about where this series is going. Prediction.
They're like, wait, what? We'll go last.
Yes. Virginia?
I think something is going to happen between Emma and the great granddad.
Oh, like, yeah, me too.
Like, something is definitely up. They're like hooking shipping? Up when they are, like, in the time machine or something. I don't
know. She was on the couch. She sits up. I was like,
But he's a young great grandfather, so it's not as weird. It's not, he's like some octogenarian. Yeah.
I agree with that one. I feel they're already.
Yeah, they're already hooking up when, like, the mom is gone.
Yeah.
Or the granddaughter or whatever that situation is. Yeah.
You think they're hooking up already?
Oh, yeah. I think they are, because she just pops up like, I'm going to go kill her, and it's going to be great.
She's just relaxing on the couch. Don't people just do that? You just go to somebody else's room and just relax on the couch?
Right.
Not the head of Rittenhouse. No, no. They are definitely in cahoots somehow. Yeah.
I think so. I want to like the ship between Flynn and Lucy, but that would make our transition for Wyatt and his wife to be more okay. Because we don't want her to be alone.
No, that's very true.
Like, aw, because she was so, like, sad about it. So it's like, yes, but it didn't quite feel like he's too old, but he did have a more fatherly vibe in guiding her. So that almost is where it feels maybe a little weird, but I still don't trust him.
That'll totally piss off him, though. Wyatt's going to, like, be ballistic if that
happens. That's true. It'd be kind of fun to watch. Yeah. But I'm so glad that Gia finally talked to Rufus about it, even though it's like, okay, never mind, don't tell me anything. about her predictions because I was like, oh, I need her to talk about it, and I'm glad nobody died. My prediction was like somebody's going to die, and then Gia's going to be like, oh, darn, I should have told people. But I think she's going to still tell people if something dramatic, if she sees something big, she'll be like, or she needs to figure out a way to tell him, be like, all right, just don't go by the water fountain or something like that. And then.
Well, yeah, because I think to have that knowledge and not tell anybody and then somebody dies, then that would just drive you crazy.
Exactly.
As well.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, I want to make sure you guys get a chance to talk about what you have coming up. I know I mentioned Home for you, Grant.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
It's going to be at the Tribeca Film Festival this weekend, actually.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Super excited. And the guys who worked on it are young, doing this on their own, making it happen. So I'm really proud of them. They're good friends of mine. And it's a really good series. So I'm excited.
Are you heading out there for the festival?
No, I can't this weekend.
Oh,
yeah, my friend's getting married.
How rude.
So it's pretty
well, darn. Rude. Bad timing. No. They didn't check with you first.
I know, right?
You can have someone FaceTime you there, Skype in, and be like, I'm there, right. Guys.
Yep, there you go.
Technology.
Yeah.
Ryan, how about yourself? What do you have coming up?
So I just finished filming season 3 of the show I'm on. It's called Startup. It's on Crackle. It's a great show. It's Martin Freeman's in the first 2 seasons. We have Adam Brody, Ron Perlman, Eddie Gathegi. Mira Sorvino actually just joined our cast this season. It's a really good tech crime drama set in Miami. Lots of violence and fun stuff. I'm a cryptographer in the show. It's really good. I know I'm being so vague, but I mean, there's just so much.
Yeah, it's dangle the information.
It's on Crackle, Startup. And
excellent.
I think that'll be out, season 3 should probably be out, I'm guessing, September or November.
Oh, very cool.
Also on Amazon Prime.
And I did like the cryptographer and just the universal sign for cryptographer.
Yes. Yep. It is.
Yeah.
And if they want to stay up to date with what either of you are doing, where's the best place to find each of you on social media?
What is that?
Oh, that's just a little wrap-up music.
That's our
brand. Okay. Raina Hardesty on everything. It's Reinahardesty. Instagram, Twitter. Yeah.
Hers is so much more simple than mine. Grant Jordan 1 on Instagram.
Yeah.
And then Grant Jordan 10 on Twitter.
That's not bad. Somebody else has a Grant Jordan 1. I'll be like, correction.
Grant Jordan 100 on which social media platform?
That one is yet to be confirmed.
Oh, all right. I don't take that one. Leave it for Grant, please.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining the Timeless After Show, and big thanks for Grant and Raina for joining us.
Thank you
so
much.
Thank
you, guys.
Thank you. Absolutely. Now, folks, as I mentioned, you can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and if you want to stay in touch with either of us after the show's over, Virginia, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Virginia Raina.
And you guys can find me online on Twitter and Instagram at Carrie Delane. That's KARIDLANE.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie. I should get a Happy Go Jackie 10 as well.
Yeah.
Folks, thanks for joining us. We'll see you back here next Wednesday night for another edition of the Timeless After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.